And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. Our very special guest today is Pat Miller, co-founder of Vera Bradley. Pat, we are so pleased to have you on today.
Well, thank you. I'm very happy to be on your show, Rick.
Tell us where you're from originally.
We are in Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is in the northeast corner of our state.
So tell our listening audience about your experience with the Wildwood Park Welcoming Committee and how that changed your life.
Well, that happened about 35 years ago, if you can imagine that. And my husband and I were, with our three sons, were living in Wildwood Park. And it's an older community, beautiful older community within Fort Wayne, or neighborhood, I should say, more than a community. And Jay, our youngest son, who was five, went with me. I was the welcoming committee of one. And Barbara and her family had just moved in about four doors down. So we went to her home, knocked on the door, and said, welcome. And the rest of the story is, these are older homes, very pretty older homes. And she was busy making it her home and taking wallpaper down and putting new wallpaper up. That's when we used a lot of wallpaper. And said, do you know how to hang wallpaper? I said, no. And her response was, well, how would you like to learn? And that was the beginning of our business relationship and our personal relationship together.
Hey, and tell us about your family and grandkids.
We have three sons and we have five wonderful grandchildren. And just feel very blessed. It's a good life.
Now, do those grandkids know about the Vera Bradley Company?
Well, my older grandchildren do. I think the only one that doesn't is probably the 3.5-year-old boy. But we have 2 6-year-old little girls, and they are Veraphiles already. And we have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old boy. So the only one that probably doesn't know and doesn't care is the 3.5-year-old little boy. But the other ones do know what their grandmother does, somewhat, I should say.
I bet they are very proud of you. We always talk about life lessons on Success Made to Last, and we'd love to know, Pat, a little bit about your mom and the greatest life lessons that she taught you.
Well, my mother was born Wilma Willard. And my maternal grandparents were farmers and lived outside the small community that I was raised, Farmington, Illinois, which is just east of Peoria. So we're in the heart of Illinois. And she was raised on a farm. She has an older sister and was in high school and probably part of grade school during the Depression. And I'm sure that probably made more of an impression on her than anything. My grandparents living on a farm might have had it a little easier than some people because they were fairly self-sufficient. But I do know her telling me when she was in high school that they didn't have enough money, maybe not even a car, for her to travel from the farm into high school, so she was able to board with a family in Farmington during the week and then would go home on the weekend.
And those were real tough times, weren't they?
That was a tough time for everyone.
Was your mom a storyteller?
My mother is, and she is still alive. She's 91 years old, very, very sharp, and she's very organized and doesn't miss a beat. And but she is a very strong lady, and worked most of her life. She was a bookkeeper. She worked in the bank. She worked as a bookkeeper for a sporting goods store and also for a construction company. So she likes to dot her I's and cross her T's. And one of the things you had asked me to think about this, and the lesson I might have learned from her And what came to mind immediately was everything has its place.
Mm.
I was half as organized as she is. But she was a hard worker and really very, very organized.
And please share a lesson from your grandparents.
They first came into Boston, where my grandfather came by himself at first. He was not married, and made a living pushing a produce cart in Quincy Market. And after he was there for 3 years, went back to Italy and courted my grandmother, with her sisters being chaperones. And I'm not sure how long that took. I can't remember. For some reason, I'm thinking 3 months or something like that. And then they came back. They were married. He came back to Boston with his bride. And I believe they lived in Italy, Little Italy. Eventually moved to Central Illinois, to Farmington, where I grew up, and opened a small store, grocery store, and other things. But the community that I grew up in was probably about 90% Italian. The reason being, there were strip mines, coal mines, and
okay.
There was work there, and I suppose like some of the immigrants now, you tend to cluster because of the language, and one person knows another person and says, let's go here because there's work. And they were miners, but my grandfather was the grocery store. And that's where I started my business career, in the grocery store. And I really enjoyed it.
So I bet you started by sweeping floors, right?
Well, and I learned how to make change and how to display fruit and how to take inventory and how to treat the customers.
Mm.
I learned everything that I feel is so important today in our business.
Was your grandmother involved in the business?
She was at home about two blocks away raising 8 children. And my father said the grandmother lived with them, too, and her job was to sit on the back porch and mend the clothing. It was truly a family affair.
And when you say your mother was super organized, that must have come from her mother.
I believe it did. I believe it did. Because her mother, of course, was a farming lady, and she had, and it was a true farm with animals and crops and gardens, and I think it was an ideal childhood. I had the business side, and to grow up on a farm was so wonderful. I loved being out there and riding on the tractor, and we had horses and cows and baby chicks and gardens and the whole thing. It was so much fun. But I look back on it, and I think how hard both of those grandparents had to work. But of course, I never knew that. I think we even had time, especially on the farm, to sit out in the yard every night and talk. In my child's eye, we had a wonderful, wonderful life.
Pat, we know that what's missing today is this sense of community, and what's missing inside of that is storytelling. Tell us about why family dinners were so precious at your household.
You know, the family dinner, whether it be a Sunday dinner or every night, and I know from raising our boys, everyone is so programmed and having so many different activities, it becomes rare that happens.
That's
but
right.
Everything changes, right? And
that's right.
Make it right or wrong, it's just different.
Now back to your dad. What lessons did he teach you?
Well, my parents were married when they were 20 years old. They knew each other in high school. And my father then worked in the produce field, but not in the store at first. And he had a career in produce. They lived in Florida. They lived in Illinois. And then he was also a banker, went into banking. But a big part, well, I shouldn't say a big part. In my eye, as a little girl, I thought it was, he was in World War II. And he was in the South Pacific. And when I think of him, and his brothers were in the war as well. But I do remember that. I remember vividly having him come home the day he did from the war. And I remember things about receiving letters from him that were censored and all cut out. And one day he was in the Marines, and they had the globe, which was the Marine symbol, you know, with the eagle on it, I think. And they had missed a little ink dot on the globe. And we figured out he was in the South Pacific. He was on Guam is where he was. So when he came home, the thing I remembered most, he walked into the backyard, and there we were with all of our friends, and he brought a big box of Beluga bubble gum.
Oh.
So it was fun to have Dad home, because we probably weren't going to have to ration things like we did before. But he was a very, very hard worker, and I think we took one vacation when I was a kid. He worked all the time. And maybe if I had a lesson, it's that I don't want to work 7 days a week. I want to have some time to have some relaxing activity, because he didn't.
Part of that had to be the need and responsibility to his family. What a powerful lesson.
Yes, and it's not that they weren't supportive of me. I mean, I don't remember having a need for anything,
mm-hmm.
but I don't remember there being a lot of just fun times, you know, frivolous times. Just, it was a lot of work, and if you weren't working, you were tired.
So where was that one vacation?
Well, we went to Ottawa, Canada, where there were relatives living there, and we visited relatives. And that was it. That was our vacation.
So you went there and then turned around and then came back home.
That's right.
So moving on to your children, if we had your eldest on today, what lesson would he say that you have taught him?
Well, I think if you ask them, I always thought it was fun when they left the house to say, learn something. They all did get a good education. And I think community involvement is very important to me. But I'm very proud of all three of the sons. And I think continuous learning is very important and giving back. And I hope that they did get that message from me.
And moving on to your husband, what's the greatest lesson that you've learned from your marriage?
Well, that he puts up with me. He's very kind and undemanding, and I think we are a good partnership. We will have been married not 50 years yet, but pushing that, and he's still my best friend, and I hope maybe I am his best friend, and we still enjoy doing things together, and we do have fun, but it's that neither of us are a bargain, and we have our good times, and we have our times that we could be better, and you just understand that. But I think we're both not that demanding.
Yeah, laughter is definitely the key.
Well, laughter is It is very, very important. I agree with you. And you have to know how to laugh. I hate to laugh at other people. It's certainly not at their expense, but you can certainly laugh at yourself. That
sure
takes the edge off of everything.
When you and I met in Atlanta, you provided a wonderful gift to my daughter. You told my daughter, Gigi, what was the ultimate interview question?
Describe your perfect day for me.
Yeah, that's truly an amazing question. The other thing that impressed me is the deep respect that you have for your customers. It seems to me that you've struck this wonderful balance between passion and work.
Well, I am able, and what I usually think about when I'm in a situation is to put myself in the other person's place, whether that person is a friend, an employee, whoever it might be, is to try to put yourself in that person's place,
mm-hmm.
to see if your response or what you're saying, if you'd like to be in that place, if I could just switch places with them in a blank, would that be a good thing? And to also always try to leave a person whole. If you have to critique them or whatever, is to try to leave them whole.
You're practicing the golden rule.
That is as simple as it can get. And I think that if you say, okay, how would you like to live your life? And that's it.
Mm.
Just do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's pretty easy.
So in your career, what mistake have you learned from?
Well, this was the hardest question for me because I think I've learned more from my mistakes probably than my successes. But just on a very, very personal level, I tend to not make hard decisions quickly. Mm-hmm. And by a hard decision, I mean maybe having to let someone go, or give a message that you don't want to give to someone. And I, in retrospect, anytime you do that, you might procrastinate. It makes the matter worse. Because chances are, if in the case of employment, if it isn't working for the company to have that person, chances are it isn't working for the person either. And to procrastinate, and I can be a world-class procrastinator. Procrastination is not a good thing. It just compounds the misery.
And one final question for our special guest, Pat Miller. How do you want to be remembered?
Well, I just hope that I leave this world a better place than when I came in, and I would like to be remembered as someone that has been giving and might have been a little bit of fun to be with, and that perhaps just to leave the world a little better place.
Pat Miller, thanks for being on Success Made to Last. We actually got to hear the heartbeat of the Vera Bradley Company, and we're so thankful for that. Folks, if you want to go visit the Vera Bradley Company online, go to verabradley.com today, and you can check out all their newest designs. Pat, thanks again for being on.
Well, it's been a fast 30 minutes, thanks to you. Thank you very much.
That's for sure. Thanks again, Pat. And thanks again for joining us on Success Made to Last. Remember, be the best version of you. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program.